It's always better to exceed expectations rather than to underperform them. So do not overpromise. Do not sell them the moon. Be very practical with timeline, with quality, what's going to happen. Because people are always going to be thrilled if you beat the time, if you beat the budget, if you exceed.
Hello and welcome to Outer Spaces, a podcast dedicated to empowering designers and contractors in the outdoor living space. I am on a mission to scour the globe to find and interview the most brilliant mindset coaches, sales strategists, and business leaders alive, and present them in a way that landscapers, hardscapers, and outdoor living pros can immediately put them into use to grow and thrive. On Outer Spaces, we are passionate about breaking the chains of small mindsets and helping contractors just like you take control of their businesses and their lives. My name is Joshua Gillow, and through my 27 years of dirt under the nails experience, I look forward to sharing tips, strategies, and other contractor success stories here on the Outer Spaces podcast. Now, let's get on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Outer Spaces podcast. This is your host, Joshua Gillow, and today on the show, we have Andrew Bueller. He's the owner of Urban Smokehouse, and what they've perfected now is dropship ribs and all kinds of different fun meat that you can cook on your grill or just send to clients as a great gift. So whether it's a client's birthday or you just want to celebrate the finish of their project or you just want to send them something to surprise them, it's a great way to do it. They drop ship this stuff frozen and you can easily cook it up on that brand new outdoor kitchen and make Mr. and Mrs. Jones even more excited that they work with you for a project. So if that excites you, listen on. Hey, Andrew, I'm super excited to have you here on Outer Spaces. And you know, listeners, I haven't had somebody like this on the show before. He's an interesting guy, and I'll let him tell his story. But he's been working on some stuff really cool right here in the New York area that's gonna help you leave a better impression and get a better chance of referrals with your clients. And that's why I have him on here, to be quite honest with you. That's my deeper drive. But Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Josh, and happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, dude. So when I was looking on your website and I saw that you help people in a very unique way. You want to tell us how you help people?
Yeah, sure. So Urban Smokehouse is a pre-cooked barbecue foods brand. And really the pitch is simple. You know, when I think of barbecue, it's often described as being cooked low and slow, which means at a low temperature and for a long time, which is kind of the definition of inconvenient, if you ask me. Smoking a rack of ribs for 3 to 5 plus hours or a brisket for 8 to 12 plus hours. We might all like eating those things, but a lot of us don't want to dedicate a day to making a meal and want to be able to make, you know, lunch or dinner in 15 or 30 minutes. And so we kind of thought about this and said, hey, there's probably a great opportunity here to sell for us to do it the right way, cook things low and slow, vacuum seal it, put it on dry ice and ship it door to door nationwide. So that's exactly what we're doing. We currently sell ribs and brisket. We're going to be adding hand pulled chicken soon and some accompanying sides in the long term. But the goal is to make it so people that don't have smokers, don't have time, and don't have the skill set to be able to make barbecue at home in a much more convenient time frame and in a equipment agnostic time frame. So given we've smoked it, you can finish it on your grill, finish it in your oven, air fryer, really device of your choice.
I love that, dude. And you know, I've got a good friend that he loves smoking stuff, right? He has his smoker out there. And I ask him like, Brett, so how long does it take to make this stuff? He goes, this has been going on for like 12, 14, 16, sometimes longer hours. And I'm thinking, dude, that's just not like, I would never do that. I'm being honest with you. Like the amount of time it takes just to think about, I love eating it, but I'm not like, I don't know. It's just not my thing. But, yeah, I'm glad that you solved that problem.
Yeah, it's honestly a culture or like a hobby almost. You know, some people get really into it. And there's a much larger portion of the population that likes to eat the food that comes off of that, but doesn't want to put in the time. And so that's basically what we're solving.
I love that. I love it. And I see that he gets a lot of joy out of doing it. And I was like, you know, thank God you love to do that stuff.
I'll be there every other Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. It's good stuff. So tell us a little about your story. How did you get into, you know, shipping smoked meat around the country? Like how did you go from where you were to here?
Yeah, sure. So I spent the first 10 years of my career in financial services here in New York. I was an investor. I worked for a couple different investment firms. So I have more of a finance and kind of technical business strategy background from a career perspective. But I'd say food is a longer dated, always been a passion of mine. You know, in high school, I was the president of the Grilling Society in college, I started something called the Fat Cats, which was like an eating club. I used to do an annual pig roast where I'd do a full hog for the entire university. And one of the great things about New York is it has a plethora of restaurants and a plethora of cuisine from around the world. So I have enjoyed living here just from a food exploration standpoint. COVID was that natural self-reflection period for a lot of us. You know, we spent a lot of time at home and a lot less time socializing. And I began to think, you know, do I want to keep doing what I've been doing, or do I want to, you know, do something different? And, also naturally saw every single day more and more Amazon boxes piling up in the lobby of my building and every single building. I think in the beginning, like, we had a designated like little mail room where like most of the boxes were. Within 6 weeks of COVID, if you went into that room, it was just you couldn't enter. It was just boxes. And then the regular lobby started filling up with boxes. You know, just you saw this trend of boxes and boxes piling up everywhere. And then in addition to that, historically, if I bought food online, I was comfortable buying, you know, I don't know, coconut water, Gatorade, bottled water, maybe like, you know, potato chips or dry goods. But I always made a point to, you know, go to the grocery store and hand select the proteins I want to eat, or the vegetables, or the fruit, you know, produce and meat. Usually people like to pick those things out themselves.
Yep.
Well, the first few weeks of COVID, naturally everyone, you know, is questioning, well, do I want to go to the store? Do I want to do this? And so I think it was a forced adoption curve of people now, or way more people now, buying meat online, buying fruit, buying vegetables, considering Amazon grocery delivery, stuff like that. And so I kind of said, hey, light bulb moment, you know, maybe there's going to be just a very big growth curve here in online food delivery. Where is the market currently being served and where is it not? And then I had this other thesis, which I kind of told you in the beginning of this, which was a lot of people like to eat barbecue, but it's a pain in the ass to make. just too time intensive. So maybe that's a niche. Maybe that's something that we could do that, you know, would be really, really interesting and really popular. And so, you know, a couple weeks or a couple months passed of tinkering through that, and ultimately decided to pursue it, and did a Kickstarter, which is like a crowdfunding campaign, in July of 2022. That was successful. Then ultimately the business, we filled those orders 2 months later in September of 2022. And we've been, you know, selling since then online.
I love that, dude. I love it. And, you know, it's funny, cause when you talk about what you'll buy online, and I know COVID really switches up a lot, but just yesterday I was talking to my wife and I wanted to get some gifts for some friends, and my wife's from Germany. So they're in their culture around Christmas times, you go to the Christmas markets and you get this beautiful warm cup, or it's more like a mug, of what's called Glühwein, which is a spiced warm red wine. And it's so common there. You don't ever really see it here unless you go to like a Kiskunhalmar or something. But anyway, with that being the case, it's something that now, after, you know, experiencing that for the last 20 years, it's kind of part of our tradition, right? So I'm looking for some, and our local, you know, liquor stores will have it come out. You know, usually right around the holidays. So I went to a couple and I found a couple different ones and I tasted them and I'm like, all right, I like the original one we had. I couldn't just get that everywhere. So I told my wife, I'm like, maybe tomorrow you can go to the liquor store and try to find what we're looking for. We need like 20 bottles for friends. And she's like, I don't know if I have that kind of time tomorrow. I'm like, I don't have that time either. And we need to do this before, you know, I'm going away, whatever. And she's like, why don't you just go online and buy it? And I'm like, you know, I buy everything online. I'm like, well, why wouldn't I buy wine online? You know what I mean? So I went on and looked. Dude, it was cheaper than it was in the store. They can ship me 20 bottles in a couple of days. And I'm like, thank you for solving a big problem and getting us the exact one we wanted. So to your point, you know, I love the idea of being able to take some of these things that are more of a pain in the ass to make, like barbecue and like all the smoking that goes into it, and to making it more turnkey, where people can be like, you know what, I want the end product at my house. I don't want to go out to eat. I don't want to be able to prepare it here, put it on the grill, put it in the oven, and don't have to do all the prep, man. So I love the idea.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, you know, I agree too, because the other thing just with online, it's, you know, you think about it 10, 15 years ago, another big hesitation was like, well, I don't want to wait 2 weeks for it to come. Yeah. But, you know, fulfillment has just improved dramatically. Oh, and I mean, whether it's Amazon or just anyone else's website, you can get most products, you know, that week, if not within, you know, 2 days.
There are so many, even like vegetables. My wife buys vegetables online. She did for a while. There was this place, I forget the name of it, but it was like all the ugly vegetables.
I know that company actually. I forget what it's called too, but I've used them before too. Yes.
Yeah, it's like all the misfits they'll ship you.
That's what it's called. Like, misfits. Yeah, cool.
That's it. That's it. Well, great name, right? So yeah, misfits. And if you don't want, you know, if you don't care if that apple's perfectly the shape of an apple or your tomato's perfect, then you go to Misfits and you get all the misfit stuff and it still tastes just like everything else. So she was ordering that for a while. So I'm like, if they can ship tomatoes, if they can ship all of that stuff, that's perishable stuff. Anyway, just really cool stuff. But shipping has changed a lot. And, you know, one of the bigger reasons to bring you on here wasn't just to talk about your product. It was to talk to our listeners about this opportunity. It doesn't have to be ribs or smoked anything, really. But the idea of really taking care of your clients, you know, customer experience is number one, numero uno when it comes to any business. Now, you can't get away anymore if you want to grow and be successful. You can't get away with being a jackass and just showing up and doing the bare minimum because you're not going to go anywhere. Right? It's just not going to happen. If you really want to grow a business that's going to have some impact on the world, you're going to have to think about the customer experience and think about how that client feels throughout the entire process of working with you, right? So, and I'm sure I'd love to unpack that with you and how you went through Kickstarter and how you built that. But what I'm trying to get at with the listeners is I want you to start thinking about how can you take what you're doing and instead of just doing 100% of what you have to do, what would 102% look like for you? Taking it just a little bit further because everybody else is stopping probably 95%, maybe 98%. Some are closing on the finish line at 100. All you need is a 2% increase and you're different than everybody. And it's only 2%. It's not a 100% increase over everything. It's 2% difference. And I say that because little random acts of kindness or thinking about maybe sending them ribs at the end of the project, being like, hey, we just installed this outdoor living space. Why don't you flame up your grill and throw some of these ribs on? You guys won't have to sweat for hours trying to smoke everything. You know, Andrew's got that figured out for you. And use that as a thank you or a Christmas present or a birthday present if you know what's going on. So, Andrew, I'd love to jump into how you guys work your customer experience side of things and to make sure that your customers are getting the very best experience and not just a great product.
Totally. And one thing I actually want to piggyback off of what you just said too about that 2 to 5% difference. Mm-hmm. I was actually just talking about this with someone yesterday. And I was saying, you know, in entrepreneurship or, you know, business building, I think a lot of people often try to think to be too innovative or too radical. And they think, you know, oh, well, there's someone that's already doing that. So they think they have to reinvent the wheel. And you don't realize that it's the 2 to 5% difference in quality or service or experience that can make you 10 times better than the other guy or have 10 times more customers than the other guy. Yep. And so focusing on those little, the minor in something that's 2% to you can feel 100x to them. And so I do really like that kind of framework that you just said. But how we think about customer experience. So I think I think with anything online, there's really two primary things. One, obviously the product needs to taste amazing. We're in food. So someone needs to open it and, you know, really enjoy that. Two is really just the delivery component of it. People get very frustrated if they want it before a specific event or holiday. People get very frustrated if the order takes a long time to come. You know, if they order this week and it doesn't come for 2 weeks. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, Amazon has convinced the entire world that all your packages can come within 2 days.
Yeah.
And you're not Amazon. Maybe it can come in 4 or 5, but if you're doing over a week long delivery, people get very upset very quickly.
Yeah.
Especially because most people aren't planning ahead when they're buying our product. They're not saying, oh, I want this for an event in a month. They're saying, hey, I want this upcoming weekend. Or, hey, it's John's birthday next week. Let's get this in advance. So it's just delivering on time. The product has to taste great and it needs to come quickly. I view those two as like the highest level of importance on customer experience. Next is like, it needs to be super easy when you make it. And so, I mean, given the product's pre-cooked, I try to show how simple it is to make our products. Like it's rip it open, heat it up, eat it. Those are the three steps.
I mean, in that order.
Obviously, heating it, you know, there's a couple, but you know, preheat the oven or, you know, pre-light the grill or something. I mean, it's not done instantly, but it's not like a meal kit where we're going to be telling you to apply different ingredients or you buy something where like halfway through the microwave you open it and you add another ingredient or something. It's all of our stuff it's already all assembled. You just need to heat it up. And I think that simplicity makes it nice for a lot of people as well.
No, absolutely, dude. And it has to be simple because you're exactly right. You don't have people that are thinking, let's put it this way. There's not a majority of people that are thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 months out what they're going to have for a party or dinner. So it's more like, oh shit, we need something. What are we going to do? And then they're like, oh, they call Andrew. Next thing you know, like Urban Smokehouse, it takes 6 weeks to get the product. It's like, that's not going to work. It's got to be instant. So, you know, what are some of the things that you learned during that process, you know, as you're Kickstarter, you've got your funding, you're ready to go, you've got proof of concept, people like it, you know, like what are some of the things you've learned in business in order to get you to where you are now?
Sure, a bunch of different things, but I'll hit on a couple points that I think are interesting for people. So one, I'm really glad we did the Kickstarter. I think crowdfunding is really interesting for people that are thinking about starting a business but are unsure, because rather than investing in equipment or product or people, I got to find customers. I got to collect money before doing anything. I mean, yeah, you have to put a little bit of time and money into making a video and saying, hey, isn't this a cool idea? But I think on our Kickstarter, we had a goal of $25,000. We raised $30,000. That $30,000 comes to me, and now I make the product, and now I ultimately fulfill it. So it really helps de-risk it financially. And then two, it gives you that immediate, call it like... test trial phase where you get to see like what these guys think of it. And then hopefully those people can write, you know, 5-star reviews for you online. If there are issues, you can address it right away, but it allows you to come into the market rather than in the hole, but hopefully like even financially with a couple hundred customers, with some people that are already considering buying the product again, and some customers that are already being advocates for you, telling their friends, hey, I had these things last week. Really cool. You should check them out. Because at the end of the day, that you really need to make your customers your biggest advocates. You can't just acquire customers through, I don't know, marketing. It's too expensive. Yep. That there were a lot of learnings along the way. So originally we thought that we would vacuum seal these products, throw them in a styrofoam cooler alongside some dry ice. I noticed that occasionally the dry ice bags would rip, and if the ice gets out, it makes our packaging very brittle and it would crack. And so immediately within a few weeks, we noticed there's way too high of a percentage of orders, like having the bags breaking them. And so we had to then put the vacuum sealed product inside a cardboard box that would then go inside the cooler alongside the ice.
Yeah.
Another thing we did, which I mentioned earlier about like getting the customers to become your biggest advocates, is, you know, when you go to the grocery store, most people have like a shopping list or a grocery, like they're going to the store knowing what they want to buy. Very seldom, I think people walk down an aisle and go like, they're seduced by the packaging and say, oh, I want to try this. You know, most people are going in knowing what they want to buy. So how do you get nobody knows who we are. Nobody's tried our product. And that's the most important thing in food. How do you get someone to try your product? Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of in-person events in New York where I would approach bars that didn't have a kitchen. No competition for me, and say, hey, I notice you don't have a kitchen. Can I set up outside and give away free ribs and then sell them to people that like them? So I'd give you one rib, and if you liked it, I'd sell you a half rack or a full rack. Mm-hmm. And then the bar owner likes it because he says, oh, awesome. Now people that would leave after an hour or two because they're hungry, you know, theoretically will stay for that third or fourth hour because now we're serving food and we couldn't before.
Yeah.
So it's a good way to like feed the people, for lack of a better term. Because a lot of brands, if you're in a grocery store, you know, you'll see if you go to Trader Joe's or Costco or somewhere, there's usually 4 or 5 vendors that are doing like free samples. And so I needed to find a way to kind of like replicate that for an online business that doesn't have a brick and mortar. And so we put a big emphasis on like just getting people to try the product the first couple months. And I think that's very important in a lot of different industries to gain. How do you gain trust? You know, do a little bit of free work for someone, give someone a little sample. You know, it can't be too much. You can't be wasting all your time doing free work or giving away free product, but you got to find a way to quickly gain people's trust and validation so that they want to work with you, spend money with you, or experience your service.
No, it's awesome. That's a great way to bootstrap it, right? Get out there and, you know, the bar owner has no downside, only upside. And he looks at it and says, yeah, heck yeah, let's do that. And you know, I think about our world, you know, the outdoor living world. And, you know, often I think it's a lot of guys are just out there, and girls too, trying to figure out how they can make money, right? This is, it's what it is. All business is about that, trying to make some money. But what's often forgotten or lost during that process is the client on the other side and their experience, right? And sometimes things don't go right on projects. Things are found when you're digging or when we're building or expectations aren't set correctly in the beginning. But, you know, at the end of the day, the client is going to, or he or she is or is not going to refer you or your product or service unless they've felt something, right? And felt something, if you want a good referral, it's going to be felt something more than they expected. So if they're expecting an average contractor experience to be show up, probably take too long, charge a lot more, and leave the place worse than they found it, and with all kinds of problems they got to fix later, if that's their expectation of what that experience is going to be like before you ever walk out there, and you can come in with a very different, again, remember that 102, right? Instead of like the 98 or so, they almost finish on the finish line. Maybe they get the whole punch list done. Maybe they just disappear. If you can get to that 102 and say, okay, well, we're obviously going to do all of those things. My punch list is going to be longer than their punch list, right? You own those things and you have a standard higher than most people's. Now, you're not going to hit everybody because some clients are just impossible to please, but for the most part, you have a standard higher than them and your punch list is longer. And then at the end of that entire process, you actually give them something in addition. Maybe it's a set of mugs if they did an outdoor kitchen that has their family name on it, or if they have a pet or something that they all kind of, we had one client who named their whole backyard after their dog because their dog was old and they just like, it was their whole life. And like you listen for those things during your conversations with them, and then you do something custom for them that's above and beyond it. And that's where I think your product lines up great, especially for our industry, is to be able to send them ribs that they can put on and put together a, you know, an event and say, I already got the ribs, they're already done. They're awesome. They're going to taste amazing. I don't have to worry about that part. And for the little investment it takes to do that, that's that 102%. That's that 105%, right? It's that more than they expect. I just had Randy Dietrich on the podcast, incredible guy who owns a local vineyard here, top 13 in the country, in the middle of two cornfields of Pennsylvania, like nowhere. And he's owned the market because he has that same mentality, that 102% mentality, right? And he even mentioned on the podcast, he's like, man, if I were building somebody a deck or a patio, I'd be building them or buying them planters to put on there when we're done. What's, you know, you upcharge them a little bit in the middle and you do that as addition, unexpecting those things. And those are the things that get the client to talk a lot more and gets them to say, you know what? I remember when master planner or whatever, you know, when somebody came out and did this project that they didn't just do the project I expected, they did extra stuff for us. And they listened so well that we got these cool mugs with our family name on it and we use them in the kitchen and we have whatever it might be. Think about it. We've given away pizza ovens. We had this one client once who really wanted a pizza oven, but they were stupid expensive and they didn't want to do it. So we found this little Uni pizza oven. They're all over the place now, but they're little like tabletop appliances that you can either burn like a wooden pellet in there or gas, and it can be folded up and put in your garage, put back out. And they loved it. We gave it to them at the end. It was like $500 at the time. And we gave it to them and it's one of their favorite parts of this entire project. This project was probably $300,000+ to finish this project. That $500 gift, they used it when we were there, when we were filming. They constantly talk about that gift and they've referred us to so many other people. So my bigger point in saying all this, if you're going to run a company that's going to run on referrals, because referrals are already warmed up, ready to go clients, right? If you're going to do that, you've got to be thinking 102%. And things like this, like ribs, like little pizza ovens, like mugs with names on it, like you name it. There's so many different ways, so many different things you can do if you're actively looking to make sure your client experience is over anybody else's.
You know what I'm thinking that pizza oven also does? I'm betting a lot of people, if they have guests over and they're making pizzas, they look at it and they go, oh, wow, that thing's so cool. Where'd you get that? Oh, you're not going to believe it. My contractor gave it to me.
Yeah.
That's a referral engine for 10 years.
And it has been too. That $500 is paid well. And it's not just the intent of that. Like ultimately as business owners, our goal is to grow our companies. And right. So, but these kinds of things are just, they feel good too. They're not just revenue drivers. They're also feel good type of initiatives as well. And, you know, there's nothing better than seeing a client with just a big old smiley face. Imagine when you're going for that final check and you might be a little concerned whether they have a list that you don't know about, right? There's always that chance, right? There's that one punch list they didn't talk about, or the wife got home and saw some stuff you thought you were done. And she's like, oh no, you're not done yet. And this check I'm holding right here for $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 is not yours until they're done. It's like $300 worth of work, right? So it's like, but when you show up with, you know, let's just say we used Honey Bake Ham for years. We would give them away at Christmas, right? We'd go to the store, we'd get them, and we would deliver, hand deliver them at Christmas and just say, thank you for your business. Thank you for all of that. Right. And it's like, okay, cool. If that's the case and you see the kind of response you're getting, like if your goal is to feed your referral machine, you've got to do more, 102%. So you guys out there, if the gears are turning, think about listening to your clients a little deeper and figuring out what you can do or set aside for each project that you can do above what they're expecting. They already expect you to do a great job. Now it goes one step beyond that.
Two things on that too, actually. Something I've always tried to do, whether it's in this business or others too, is it's always better to exceed expectations rather than to underperform them. So yes. Do not overpromise. Do not sell them the moon. Be very practical with timeline, with quality, what's going to happen. Because people are always going to be thrilled if you beat the time, if you beat the budget, if you exceed in anything you're promising them or claiming is going to happen. You don't want to be explaining why it's behind schedule, why it's more expensive, why it's lower quality, why it's this, why it's that. Be very practical and realistic. And that's how you get smiles rather than frowns throughout the entire process.
100%, dude. And one big thing in our industry is timeframes, right? This is Joan signs up for a new backyard renovation or transformation. And as soon as she signs that contract and gives you a deposit, she's excited. She wants it tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it's the only thing on her mind, right? She's like, oh my God, I finally, after all these years, I'm going to do this finally. And then when you tell her, yeah, we can get there in let's just say it's fall. We can get there April 1st. We're going to start because we think we need to say that in order to sell the project. And then come along April, well, so I should say late March comes along and the other project's just not going fast enough or the weather's not right. Mrs. Jones has been sitting there for just all winter, just ready to explode with the joy to have this new backyard. And then you call her and be like, you know what? Or you don't show up. That happens too. You know, April 1st comes along and goes and she's like, what the hell? He told me April 1st, when I gave him that check for $25,000, they said April 1st, they've made that connection. That expectation has been set. It hasn't been set by her. It's been set by the contractor, right? It's been set by us. And then we wonder why she's calling on April 2nd, April 5th, April 20th. Where are you guys? And every day she gets more and more pissed because she feels like, look, I gave that money that gave me a time frame, expectations. So here's a little nugget I'm going to drop on the listeners right now when it comes to timeframes and projects. If you're going to be scheduling projects out for any distance of time, at a minimum, only talk about months. Hey, the month of April, we can be there, Mrs. Jones. I'm not sure when yet. We're going to finish our projects up to it. The weather opens up the month of April, right? That's where we're going to start. Okay, cool. And if you can hammer that, that's good. Next level, especially if you're out a few months, is to give them seasons. I learned this from a pool builder.
Yeah.
Pool builder, I'm like, how do you get so busy? How do you do it? He goes, I just tell them seasons. Simple. We've been doing that for years and it's been so effective. So if Mrs. Jones, you know, she's all excited about April 1st. Nobody said April 1st.
We said
because
spring.
you would say spring. That would be your expectation, spring. And the last time I checked, that's a good 3 months roughly, yep. Right? So you can be beginning of spring, middle of spring, or end of spring. That gives you space because the number one frustration we had and anxiety inside the office is trying to deliver on the expectations that we set. I used to be the guy that said April 1st, I'll be there, and then stressed out like crazy to get there on time or moving projects around or just up at night because I don't know how it's going to happen with the weather coming, snow, forget all of that. Then we went to months, which was like, whew, thank God, it's so much easier. And then we went to seasons. There's no pressure at all.
I actually had a similar issue now that I think about it. Cause in the beginning, you know, on your website, you have to say, you know, oh, when can you expect your order? And you can speak in generalities, but there's always, oh no, 4th of July is on a Wednesday, which is a federal holiday, which means I'm not going to ship anything then. And then we typically don't ship on Thursday unless you live within a certain radius of the fulfillment center. And we don't ship anything on Friday because we don't want anything to get caught in like a FedEx site somewhere over the weekend and spend an extra day. And so I would notice there'd always be these weird hiccups with like over promising on shipping. Yeah. And so I was like, guys, like let's just loosen the promise there. Let's say we will ship the product within a week of you placing your order. Yeah. And it's nice because now some people are like, wait, I thought it wasn't coming for like a week or two. Like, why'd I get it within 24 hours? Why'd I get it in 2 days? Yeah. Why'd I get it in 3 days? It's like, well, we're actually going to beat that metric 90% of the time, but I don't want to be in some sort of scenario where I put a gun to my head. Now I only beat it 60% of the time. So I have 40% of complaints or people being like, where's the order? This is the expectation. And then unpacking it and explaining it. So a week for me is a season for you since you're, it's very different. Again, it's just drawing that out a little bit so that you can create a dynamic where everyone's happy.
100%. Because when you set expectations correctly in the beginning, everything is smoother. I mean, some people are going to have expectations that are just unfounded or unsaid. That's just going to be what it is. But for the most part, when you set expectations and you say, look, on Friday at 3 o'clock, you'll have your proposal by then, or we're going to start Thursday morning, probably between 9 and 10, whatever, or in the morning, whatever framework you want to set up, and you know you can do that and you're easily going to be able to cover that and hit that standard, then it's no big deal. But if you can't, if you are not 100% sure you can do that, then give them a bigger generality. And if it's not good enough for the client, that's all they're getting. Because if you said anything else, you'd be lying to them. So just be honest. That's it. And the cool part about the seasonality side of scheduling is that you have those 3 months to hit that line. You're totally within what you said you would do. And then when you show up on April 2nd, think about Mrs. Jones. She's like, oh my God, it's happening now. This is amazing. Right? So you can then...
Yeah, it feels like you're a rock star versus you're a day late on April 1st.
Exactly. But to your point earlier about having a week's time frame and you're getting it in 24 hours, everyone wants it sooner, but it's when they expected it in 23 hours and it took 24, they complain.
Exactly.
No, right? But if you told them 48 hours and they got it in 24, they'd be happy. But when it's 5 days and they get it in 24 hours, they're ecstatic. And that's the level. That's that 102%, right? That's that extra 2% thinking through that client experience and thinking about how they're receiving this information. And I know some of you guys out there are listening and thinking like, yeah, of course, Einstein, we already know how to do this. But when you think about everything from the perspective of your prospect, your client, when you're thinking of it from their, imagine them wearing a certain set of glasses that then all of a sudden that if you put their glasses on, you could see life through their lens, through how they see it, through their stories, through their experiences, through their traumas, all that stuff, all the stuff that's going on in their head. If you could see life through their lenses, how would they want to be treated? Right? Think about it from their perspective. If they're busy, if they've got kids, if they're travel a lot, if they don't like a lot of noise in their property, like all this kind of stuff, how can you craft an experience that hits as many of those boxes that make sense, that you can be that particular and purposeful in your delivery of your product or service, right? It's knowing those clients deep down. We know that most of our clients are healthcare providers. They're healthcare professionals, extremely busy people, highly educated, extremely busy people that don't want to build shit, right? We know our ideal client and exactly what they look like, where they go on vacation, what kind of cars they drive, where they live, what they like to do for hobbies. We know that. We've been doing it 27 years now. We know what they want. So now it's like you really to dial that in and know who your most, we call it the perfect avatar, right? Who is that perfect client? If you can think back in the last year and say, all right, so I remember I had 2 or 3 clients that I would absolutely love to just photocopy and work with again and photocopy or whatever, just clone and work again, work clone, like, because they paid on time. They were awesome to work with. They referred the heck out of us after we were done. Everybody has those clients. So figure out which top 3 were from last year and figure out what the commonalities are with them. Where do they work? What do they do for fun? Where do they travel? Do they have families? Like, you start to build that avatar. And then once you can dial it in, then you can understand putting those glasses on from them, how you set your business in a way in front of them that is a no-brainer, because they're like, you know exactly where their pain points are. So I'm sure you had to go through that with Urban Smokehouse as well and say, okay, well, what kind of rubs are we going to use? What kind of sauces are we going to use? What's going to work for our ideal client? How was that like? Because there's a lot of choices out there. So how did you get that figured out?
There's a couple different things there. One was, so our end goal is to have what I'll call a more all-encompassing menu. But again, this is a... everything starts as a small business, right? It's hard to launch a business and instantly have 100 products and sell in 50 states and all this and that. And so I said, what are the 2 most iconic barbecue dishes that are also the 2 biggest pains in the butt? And that was ribs and brisket. Those are both the things that take hours and hours. There isn't really a comp or something similar that like you're going to eat instead where you kind of get that fix. Like, those are the 2 dishes that are probably the highest volume in any barbecue restaurant. And so he said, we're going to start with one of those, which we did, pork baby back ribs. And we've since then, we now sell brisket as well. We launched brisket a couple months ago. for the flavor profile, then you want to kind of, I don't want to say generalize, but we weren't going to go crazy off into the right field. We wanted to do a traditional sweet barbecue sauce. And we did that because we thought it was the most down the fairway. Like, if we're going to enter the barbecue world, this is something that people think of when they think of barbecue. And I hope to one day have a bunch of different flavor iterations. I hope when you go on my website, there'll be a drop down. It'll be like, do you want the traditional sweet one? Do you want a spicy version? Do you want a Thai chili version? Or, you know, 6 or 8 different flavors. And we'll do the same thing for other protein SKUs, beef and chicken, etc. But we basically wanted to start with the two dishes that address our pain point the most easily, which is they take a really long time to cook. And then we wanted to do the most popular, most traditional kind of iterations or flavors of those, because that was the biggest addressable market. And, you know, we'll add flavors, we'll add iterations of it as time passes in order to get that different itch or get you to come back into the other store. But we felt that was the most logical to start with. So that's why we chose those.
I love that. And again, with Kickstarter, you can send product out and get immediate feedback. Yeah. That's the cool part about it. I love that model for that reason.
And before that, obviously, there was what I'll call the flavor labs, where, like, you know, every week I was having another barbecue and there was like 8 different sauces lined up. And I'm asking you, like, which one, force rank them, which, what are your top 3? You know, this or that. And, like, yeah, we did spend a couple time like perfecting the sweetness of the one we ultimately did. But we knew the general direction we wanted to go in was sweet pork baby back ribs.
I love it, dude. That's one of my favorite things to go, especially when I'm in Nashville. I'm down with my brother Ace down there, man. I'm like, we're going for brisket. We're going for ribs. We're going for all of that. So.
Do you eat hot chicken? You there? I thought Nashville, the big thing's hot chicken now.
It is, but I'm not a huge fan. Maybe I just haven't had the right one. I mean, it's good, but it's not something I would race back for.
Fair. Well, I'm not stopping you. I don't sell that. So let's keep you.
Maybe eventually you will, right? Oh, man. No, I love it. And so Andrew, as we wrap up here, how can people find you? How can they reach out and take a look at what you got going on and we, you know, go from there?
Yeah. Our website is www.urbansmokehouse.co. So .co, not .com. And that our website's URL is also our handle on all of social media. So if you want to reach out or connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, it's at urbansmokehouse.co. We'd love to serve you guys some great barbecue. And if you also have just general questions about starting a business or barbecue or how I think about things, feel free to DM us or email us and I'll get back to you in a timely manner.
Awesome. I appreciate that. And do you have I know before a show you had mentioned that you might have a deal for our listeners that they can try this out for themselves.
Good job for reminding me about that. I apologize. But yeah, if you go to our website and at checkout type in outer spaces 15, we'll give you 15% off anything site-wide for your first order.
Appreciate that, man. Appreciate it. And, you know, listeners out there, you've got to be thinking about your customer experience. There's no higher focus right now in order to be profitable and to continue to bring in good, solid, qualified leads in the front of the doors by taking care of the ones you're currently working with, because they're going to bring your next customers to you. So if you can do a little bit extra, again, that 102%, right? Think about ways to do that, whether it's engraved mugs or whether it's barbecue ribs after the project, or maybe it's even 6 months after the project's done that just randomly they get these ribs and just says, hey, thank you for allowing us to serve you. And the next thing you know, like, this is a way that you can now serve yourself. You know what I mean? Enjoy this on the new grill or whatever it might be. Do you do any subscription models or anything like that, Andrew?
We do. I'll be honest. And as a man who sells ribs, I'll be blunt about it. I don't think ribs is something someone's going to eat 5 times a week. I'm impressed if you eat it once a week, but we do offer monthly discounts. So if you want us to ship you, if you say, I want 8 half slabs or 4 half slabs shipped once a month, once every other month, or once every 3 months, we have tiered discounts at all of those levels. So I think they range from 5 to 15% as well, but check our website. You'll see it as a drop down before you complete your purchase.
I love that. Thank you. So my thought was going toward, if you wanted to go even further and you really love these, you know, ribs or whatever you're going to be doing, it could be something you can set up and forget, you know, set it up for Mrs. Jones and let her roll with it. Anyway, thoughts. Those are the main reasons why I wanted to bring you on here, because if we can find ways to be able to raise our customer experience through unexpected little random acts of kindness like this, or even a year out. Imagine it's a year out. Your project just had a birthday, right? Mrs. Jones has been a year in that project and she gets some kind of birthday gift or card or something like that for her backyard. I mean, again, you got to think outside the box. This isn't just building shit and leaving. This is about relationships and being making the people feel like you actually mattered in the world. If you send them handwritten, you know, thank you cards or anything like that, that all matters. It all matters.
I agree. And honestly, you guys are building the environments that our product is supposed to be enjoyed in.
Yeah.
So that's really the overlap I see. It's, hey, I just built you this epic outdoor fireplace or outdoor kitchen and all this jazz. You know, this is what you want to eat when you're sitting there. So I really appreciate you, you know, thinking outside the box and inviting us here too, because you guys are building the spaces that people ultimately want to eat our products in.
I appreciate it, Andrew. Thank you for your time coming on. I'm very excited about the product, and I know you're going to be shipping me some to take a taste on. So, yeah, I'm excited to try it out and see what it's all about, and to open up the idea that adding extra to your customer experience can only benefit both you and your client. So, guys, until next week, thanks for listening.